The gospel account of Jesus' resurrection that we just heard from Matthew seems to end rather abruptly. In fact, it comes at the very end of the entire gospel of Matthew. And we probably would want to hear Matthew give us more about post-resurrection appearances of Jesus. He really doesn't give us hardly anything as far as that goes, unlike John, who gives us lots of those stories, and we kind of probably wish that he did give us more because they're kind of cool stories, these stories about Jesus after his resurrection. But Matthew probably felt that he could give an abbreviated account of the appearances of Jesus after his resurrection because Jesus continued to live in the community for whom Matthew wrote his gospel. They really experienced Christ's risen presence in that community. That is why this gospel ends with Jesus saying, "I am with you always, even to the end of time." So the gospel really doesn't so much end abruptly. It is meant to be understood as continuing indefinitely. Tonight I want to reflect on how this gospel account, what this gospel account tells us about the presence of the risen Christ in our lives and how we are to relate to him. Now, probably all of us have had peak experiences in our lives of faith. You know, those peak experiences where we feel like we are really feeling that Jesus is alive and present. So maybe it was on a retreat like Antioch, or like when our two deacons named Joe made their Curcio, or a silent retreat in a monastery. Maybe one of those peak experiences where we really felt Jesus to be alive and present might have been a sacramental moment. Or maybe going on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. Or the Easter Triduum. But Jesus is alive and present to us not only in those peak experiences, but also and even especially in our sometimes unglamorous and routine daily lives. Notice what Jesus told the women to tell his disciples. In our gospel, he says that they must leave for Galilee. It is there that they will see me. Now, Jesus tells the women to tell these guys this in Jerusalem, the holy city where the presence of God was in the temple, where the empty tomb was. And he says, tell them to leave for Galilee. It is there that I will see them. Virtually all of Jesus' disciples were Galileans. So in other words, Jesus' presence would be made known to them in the context of their ordinary lives. Go back to Galilee. It is there that I will see you. And so it is also true that the risen Jesus is present in the context of our ordinary lives. And he calls us to have faith in his risen presence there. You see, Jesus does not normally make his presence known to us through extraordinary spiritual phenomena, like visions or locutions. And it's not even true to say that Jesus is only present when we feel him or we feel good. Jesus wants us to believe in his presence beyond experiences and feelings. That's what faith means. Mary Magdalene didn't get to see the risen Jesus right off. First, she was shown an empty sepulcher. Then she was told by a messenger of God about the resurrection. She had to believe without seeing. And when she finally did experience the risen Christ, he just seemed like an ordinary guy. She mistook him for the gardener. The apostles of Jesus had to first hear from the women that he had risen from the dead. And when they finally experienced the presence of the risen Christ, he reproved them for not believing the women when they told them. And how about Jesus' incognito journey to Emmaus? Two disciples are walking along. Jesus kind of sneaks up on them. And, you know, far less we ever think that Jesus is only present when we feel him or we feel good. These two guys were downcast, the gospel tells us, as they were walking to Emmaus, and Jesus was with them the whole time. And they were feeling downcast. His risen presence was with them. And they also had to believe first by what they heard before they recognized his risen presence. And what does Jesus say to Thomas, the apostle, whom he reprimanded for his lack of faith? He said, "Blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." So our walk with Christ, our walk with Christ as his disciples, is a walk of faith in the context of our ordinary lives. A walk of faith, not feelings. In the context of our ordinary lives. That is what faith means. That is where Jesus meets us. And so then, how are we to relate to this risen Christ who is there in our daily lives, beyond experiences and feelings? Well, we see in the gospel account today that the women who follow Jesus were given an awesome charge by an angel. They were to be the very first ones to proclaim the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so as they go off to do that, they meet the risen Jesus himself. And lest there be any mistake that these women were sent by God as apostles, because that's what the word apostle means, one who has been sent. Jesus himself commissions them instead of it just being through one of his lieutenants, that is the angel. Jesus himself commissions them. He gives these women who have followed him an awesome charge. And what does he call the men who were his disciples when he commissions the women to go tell them? Unlike the angel who refers to them as his disciples, Jesus refers to the men who followed him now as my brothers. Interesting in this gospel. The women who follow Jesus proclaim the good news of the resurrection. The men who follow Jesus are now made his brothers. Now that, of course, does not mean that only women can proclaim the message of the good news of Jesus' resurrection. Because before Jesus' ascension into heaven, he said to his apostles, his brothers, he said, "Go out into the whole world and proclaim the good news to all creation." Nor does this mean that only men can enjoy the family intimacy of being brothers of Jesus. Because Jesus says in Matthew chapter 12, verse 50, anyone who does the will of my Father in heaven is my brother and sister and mother. And so I think these are two key ways that this gospel shows us how we relate to this risen Christ who is present even in the context of our daily lives, as even on those days when we might be saying, why should any day be like today? That is, that we are to be those apostles of good news, and we are to enjoy each day being brothers and sisters of Christ himself. Yes, we are sent as apostles, as messengers of the good news. In this world, that we are called to be witnesses of the resurrection, signs of the resurrection, newspapers of the gospel. By choosing to be people of hope in this world, by choosing each day to be people of joy, by choosing to be those who make peace, by choosing to be people who love. Paul tells us today, tonight, in this reading from Romans that we heard, of one of the ways that the baptized are to be signs of the resurrection, signs of the risen presence of Christ, by pursuing personal lives of holiness, by seeing themselves as being dead to sin and alive for God in Christ Jesus. And thus, he invites us to familiarity, to closeness with him as his brothers and sisters. To know that every day he is with us and never leaves us, because he is bone of our bone and flesh of our flesh, we are part of his family. We are that close to him. We are to bear that family resemblance to Jesus. As Paul says elsewhere in Scripture, in Romans chapter 8, verse 29, to be molded to the pattern of God's Son, so that he may be the eldest of many brothers and sisters. So as we leave this place tonight, we leave to walk in faith, not by feelings, because Jesus wants us to believe that in the context of our ordinary life, he is there. Our risen Lord, our brother, our elder brother, who is with us always, who calls us to go and be witnesses, apostles of the resurrection. Yes, Christ is risen. Alleluia.
Alleluia.